Hello and welcome again to Ask Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Ask Mike Radio is co-produced with Sense to One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asek of Asek Real Estate, Echo Six Ranch Creations, thank you, Danielle Rocco, and my supporters, Caisson Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp, be your strongest combination. We are counting down to number 500, and I've been doing this for a while now, but every now and then I realize, hey, there's a new part, a new journey, a new branch to Oscar Mike Radio. It is with great pleasure and honor that I get to introduce the first coworker. Yes, I do work a full-time job outside of Oscar Mike Radio. And for the first time, coming in at number 487 is my colleague. He is in his own fitness journey. We'll get into that in a second. And just all around Hurricane, Brian Housen, welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. It's been a while, my man.
Thanks, Travis. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. I mean, we've been coworkers a little while. I won't say how long, but we go to the way back, and now we're doing stuff together. And then you start talking to me about running. And I start talking to you about, hey, I'm still in weightlifting. And, we are on opposite ends of the spectrum, but we're still guys, not young guys, but certainly, we're still kind of getting it done in our areas, aren't we, Brian?
Yeah, we are, and it couldn't be more different physical fitness journeys. It's weightlifting is basically you're done, and I'm running marathons, which is
Yeah,
almost a foot.
I get tired hearing about it. I'm like, how does he do that? Like, I can't even imagine running a marathon at this age, but you're not running one, you run multiple ones. So tell me, let's start there. How did you get into running? Because, you've got to really love it to want to do that.
Yeah, well, so I actually ran maybe one season of cross country in high school and wasn't in varsity. I got shin splints and thought it was painful and stopped running for about 30 years. Fast forward during the pandemic, my wife, who's always been into spinning, she had gotten a Peloton bike. She got the Peloton treadmill. She didn't really tell me in advance, but it showed up in our basement.
Just
And
showed up.
it just showed up one day. She actually signed up for the beta for the newer Peloton when it came out. I think it was 2021. And so I got on it and decided, it was when we were working from home, so I didn't have 2.5 hours on the train every day back and forth. So there really wasn't an excuse not to use some of that time to exercise. So I got on to the treadmill, started working out, and about that time, my oldest daughter got into Boston University. So I got sort of a stupid idea that, started forming in my head. It would be cool to run the Boston Marathon while my daughter was at Boston University. But that was, I hadn't run a 5K yet. I hadn't, and qualifying for the Boston Marathon is a reach, and, so I started running. I ran a 5K, did kind of well, worked up to a 10K. After about a year, I ran a half marathon. And then after about a year and a half, I ran a full marathon, and that went terribly. But I stuck with it and trained. I had had COVID
Oh,
during the
wow.
training block, so not badly, but it ruined my training. But anyway, then the next marathon I ran was actually in Jersey City, where I've been working almost 30 years. So that was fun. And I qualified for Boston, and I was able to run the Boston Marathon in my daughter 2024, which was my daughter's junior year.
Now, was your daughter cheering you on at the finish line when you crossed?
No, she and my wife were at mile 24. We stayed in a hotel in Brookline, and that was right near there. The finish at a marathon's very tight, and it's actually, I think it's better to see people on the course than at the finish in any case. But people need support. People need support in their journey. That's actually and I'll pivot to that later on. But I saw my wife and daughter that they're in 24, and then I ran through just 3 seconds over what I would have had to get to qualify for the next year. And my wife and daughter said, "Well, that was great. Let's do this again next year." I had to go run another marathon in 7 weeks to qualify for Boston for 2025, which I did. And then I went and ran Philadelphia, which was another marathon that was terrible for
Now,
me.
what makes them terrible, Brian? Because some people really like the. Is there such a thing as a runner's high? I never experienced it in the Marine Corps myself, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's I think duress kind of is probably a thing that would keep you from having that. I really do enjoy running, running outside. The training, most of running a marathon is training. It's not the race. It's most of it is 12 to 18 weeks beforehand, you do a training plan, build up your aerobic base, build up your speed, prepare for the race. And most of what you're doing for a marathon is the weeks and months beforehand. The race is really just executing something that you've been preparing for a long period of time. And a good marathon is when you get to the end and you feel good all the way to the end. And I've had a couple of marathons that were good, and a couple that were, I got, hit the wall, went out too fast or had too aggressive a time goal. But it's if you know what I ran Chicago this year, and that was terrible. I was trying to reach a stretch goal. I didn't reach my stretch goal, and then I paid the price and had to walk it in. But then 3 weeks later, I ran New York and dialed it back a little and ran a personal record.
Now, one thing I'm curious about,
Yeah.
do the locations and the courses really affect the runner as much as some people say it does? Because I hear Boston's a pretty like rigorous course to run for a marathoner.
Yeah, so the course itself, yes. I mean, obviously Boston is famous for its hills. The hills in Boston, the Newton Hills, they can be surprising. Because there is really not just like one hill, it's like a series of rollers. You climb up, climb over I-95, and then you turn right onto past the firehouse, Newton Firehouse, and there's basically a series of three hills finishing it, culminating at Heartbreak Hill. And it really is that it. That you climb and then you get a break and then you climb. It's a bit of a surprise. Like in New York, there's ship bridges. Ship bridges don't surprise you. You can see what's coming. It's designed for cars to go up. It goes up, it comes down. Whereas the Newton Hills, the first time especially you take it, you run it, it's hard. You don't know what to expect exactly. They could, Guess they roll.
So you get into running, and then, as I understood it, and here's the thing, folks, we would get on a team's call and talk, and I ran a marathon, Travis, and he showed me his medal. I'm like, dude, that's cool. You're doing what? And then I tell him about my weightlifting, and he thought that was cool. But then it kind of morphed into this thing where you're like, hey, I'm doing this running not just to run anymore, but for this cause called Project Purple.
Yeah.
And I started studying. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of military veterans affected by what Project Purple supports. So, kind of take me into how you got connected with Project Purple and what that means to you.
Okay, so in the journey that I'm on, which is, running marathons, there's part of the challenge of running marathons is getting into the races. And in some of the races, I'm blessed, that I've been able to run fast and get into Boston. Been able to get into New York and Chicago. And I was very lucky and got into the Tokyo Marathon just through the lottery. But, as you deal in all or work talk to everyone in the races, you'll see at the Boston Marathon, about a third of the runners run for charities. And it is really one of the great things about running, A, that this is a professional race, and it's, we're all running behind the pros on the same day as the pros on the same course. And it's not just people who are fast, but also people who want to do that and want so much to do that that they're willing to help raise money for, for char needy charities. And so I knew as I went through the journey of running other marathons that I would probably need to raise money for a charity in order to run. And there's other ways to do it. You can pay for a marathon tour, for an international tour, but I really did feel that when it came time that I had to dig deep, that I'd rather do something that is important and effective, and challenges myself. But so when I went to look at the London Marathon, you try to get in through the lottery, and I found Project Purple was a charity that had availability for London bibs. And when I looked at it, it immediately had a connection. I have two friends recently that I've lost that have, passed away from pancreatic cancer. One of whom, my friend Justin Jingleski, used to live next door. He and his wife, when they first moved to my town, they lived in a rental house next door. They moved across town, actually twice they moved across town, and they have three kids who are in school with our kids. And we've known them forever. And then what Justin was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he fought valiantly. Earlier this year, no, earlier in 2025, he passed away. And then I had another friend, Jesse Liu, who lives a town away, and I had met him through running. And we followed each other on running, and he had beaten me in a 5K. I came in second. He came in first in our age group, in an old man category. And we followed each other on Strava, and we it looked like we would be fighting for those first two positions for the next couple of years. But he got sick, and I found out he passed away from pancreatic cancer also. That was actually before Justin. So when I heard of Project Purple and that it raises money for pancreatic cancer, I thought of my two friends and thought that that would be a charity that I'd like to support. And as after I signed up, I've learned more and more about it. They have monthly Zoom meetings. We hear typically from, people who have touched a lot, sadly, with pancreatic cancer. A lot of people have lost their a parent or friend.
Before we go, educate me and my watchers and listeners on some of the particulars about pancreatic cancer and why it's so different from other types of cancer, please.
Most of us are lucky not to know too much about it, because it is really sort of a brutal disease. Because I mean, not it is a brutal disease because it tends to not be very symptomatic until late stages. A lot of people are diagnosed in stage four, when it's very hard to fight the disease. People have, maybe unexplained weight loss and pain in their lower back, and symptoms that are hard to diagnose. And then, once they get a diagnosis that, oh, this is pancreatic cancer, it may take endoscopy or an MRI to actually find the, nodules in their pancreas. The real problems with, I mean, the problem with it is that there's no effective early screening test. And that's really one of the things that a lot of the funding that Project Purple it drives towards is to fund science to develop early testing. It's sort of a gap that some other diseases there's good treatment, good screening for. If there was early screening, it would be easier for the treatments to be effective and have better outcomes for the patients.
Well, this really kind of started resonating with me because for a couple of reasons. One, for the PACT Act, before the PACT Act, one of the things that really kept coming as a common occurrence were, veterans, young veterans, of all demographics, backgrounds, were getting pancreatic cancer at a very high rate, and they finally tied it back to the burn pits. And so there's a big push by the VA to either help fund or try to figure out ways to have the early detection, because a lot of times these veterans would come to the VA and they'd be too far gone, or just it was a horrific end for them. And then I'm looking at the website, and you all actually have a story of a Marine who is being supported by Project Purple right now. So you talk about this as being a journey in running and supporting this. What's your journey like as you start to hear these stories, understand where people are coming from with this?
Yeah, it's been eye-opening, and so we've I've actually I haven't really talked to patients. Mostly it's talking to survivors who are also well, there are some people who they've brought on who are survivors who are living with the disease. The 10-year survival rate, I think, is something very low, and 4 or 5%. It's the disease is very hard to treat, and it's heartbreaking. Like you said, young people, veterans, my friends who are 50-year-old men, three kids, good careers, great wives and great lives, and it's just heart-wrenching that it's not a lifestyle thing. I could see burn pits is an environmental thing, but that's not something anyone brought upon themselves. Environmental conditions like that's terrible. But it'd be nice if there can be progress made on screening, and that's why I think it's a good time to put money into, and I'm happy to put money in and help raise awareness and raise funds as much as I can.
So you're talking about raising awareness and funds. Do you have a marathon coming up that you're raising funds through Project Purple for?
Yes, so I'm raising money for the London Marathon. So for Project Purple, the way it works is the marathons give bibs to charities, and then the charities use that as to help people, motivate people to fundraise, and raise awareness. I'd be happy at this point if I could get a lot of people to give a small amount of money, because that means more awareness. I'll give you my fundraising link, hopefully, to
Well,
put
that's what I'm going to ask. I need the
it.
fundraising link so I can put in the Oscar Mike Radio show post so
Yep.
people who are watching and listening, you can make a donation. So absolutely, yes, I need that.
Yep. So that would be really helpful, and but I'm happy to donate. I'm donating my own money as well. But I think I'd be remiss if I only paid for it, because really the important thing is to raise awareness to what Project Purple's doing, and the need for pancreatic cancer. And like I said, I think the disease is at a place where it needs funding, and it would be great if the VA funds it, but one of the things a lot of charities have learned this year is if you depend too much on government largesse, you need to diversify your funding, because the government funding may or may not be available consistently. So it's good to have private funding and, charitable giving as well.
So what happens to you? It's a cold spring day. Well, it's not even spring yet. It's still winter, but it's a cold winter day. And you could be inside, watching the Olympics, but instead you're strapping on shoes and you're doing this not just for an athletic achievement, but also for a purpose. How does that purpose fuel your training when it gets tough or when it's like, you know what? Why am I out here doing this? Because I could be taking a lot of guys our age don't do what we do. They're past that, but you're still in it. What's the motivation, Brian?
It's something you have to dig. You have to dig into every, throw a bucket into every well, and dig deep everywhere. I've been, I think running for a charity does give it more purpose. Like I said, I ran Boston so that I could do it while my daughter was at Boston University, and so now sometimes you do ask, like, why am I doing this? This is kind of nuts, I'm running 70 hours, 70 miles a week or more. I've been running a lot of miles. But is yeah, so I think some people are ask me, am I angry about something? I'm not angry. I'm happy with I'm happy to run.
I was going to say, Brian, when you talk about running, your face lights up. When you show me that medal that you won, your whole face, your countenance was like you were happy to do that. That was a proud moment for you. I got to ask. I got to ask. Wait, wait, wait. What now, I don't know about you, Brian, but for my sons, a lot of times I am not cool, and I never will be cool. And are you cool with your kids when you show them, what you've done? No.
No. Kids don't. I think,
Darn.
I think the and it's sort of funny because, like I said, I wanted to run the Boston Marathon while my daughter was at Boston University. To the kids in college, Marmon is a day off drinking.
True.
I kind of ruined it for her because she had to come cheer for me at the marathon.
Yeah, guys, I gotta go cheer my dad on. He's running the marathon. No big deal. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
I think that's a good start to a day of partying, if you ask me.
Absolutely. I'd be proud as a peacock. This pancreatic cancer, I mean, cancer is one of those things that's just not going away anytime soon. And this is a very severe one. How can people learn more about pancreatic cancer and what to do, or how can they become more connected to Project Purple?
Okay, well, I will definitely be giving you my fundraising link.
Yes, check.
People can click on that, hopefully down
Right
below.
down below. Yes, absolutely.
And that does have links to Project Purple itself. Project Purple is actually, and I'll mention this, that it is a US charity. That even though I'm running the London Marathon, one of the things that I wanted to do was make sure that I was funding it, working for a charity that I feel personally connected to, and it was important that not just be is there's good causes in UK charities, obviously, but I wanted it to be something that I felt like brought that I was contributing to our community and
Sure.
was connected to me. They're actually based in Connecticut, and in Sherman, but I'm not sure where. I'll double check that. But they're a Connecticut-based charity, and one of the things that they've done, I'll tell you like three of the major things I know they've funded. One is they have basically care packages and purple blankets for pancreatic cancer patients, and that's to know that there's an organization that is actually fighting for their outcomes and fighting for them and in their corner. They also have block grants for research, and they had a block grant for screening for high risk patients in the state of Connecticut through the Hartford, I think it's the Hartford, I forget the the name of the medical organization, but it covers most of this or all the state of Connecticut. So for high-risk patients, that's people who are children of people who pancreatic cancer patient, children whose parents had pancreatic cancer. If they get qualified into the screening process, they get funded having an MRIs and endoscopic tests to try to
Oh, wow.
catch the disease. And in that screening program, it is for high-risk patients, but they did quickly find at least one patient who was in stage one, which gives a good prognosis to for treatment for that patient. The problem is, MRIs, as we know, are expensive,
Yeah.
and endoscopy is intrusive. And so doing that wide, that doesn't scale to everyone as like.
So no, there's no blood test or nothing like that. It's one of those two to do.
Yes, and that's the difficult thing right now, and why it's a good fund. It to me, it's a good thing to fund right now because there is no easy blood test to catch it. If there were, we all get colonoscopies, men of a certain age, women of a certain age, people of a certain age, you go get colonoscopies. I know people who've been lost to colorectal cancer, and so having screening for other cancers is a great thing to do. Obviously, if all your listeners, I think they say 45 now, they're recommending colonoscopies. Anyone who's on the fence about that and squeamish about what that means, yeah, it's not comfortable. But those are important things to do to get screening and
Well,
for.
just in the little bit I know about, let's just take breast cancer for example, and prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Early detection changes the entire treatment plan and possible potential outcomes greatly versus when it's metastasized or really just too far gone. So, I can see where, developing this kind of research and supporting it is changing lives.
Yeah, and I think prostate is probably a great story that is good screening for prostate cancer. And if people get their, do their physicals and get their blood tests, and I forget what the test, the, I forget what the test
Is it
actually is.
PSA or something like that? They test your numbers, but yeah, I mean, I hate going to the doctor, but I go there and they take half my blood and come back with a little checklist. It's like 4 pages of data, Brian. It's crazy.
And one of the things with running is I actually had a call from my doctor before the Chicago Marathon. She said my numbers were perfect. So, and I was always a little, I actually have a family history of heart attacks. My father had a heart attack. My grandfather had two, and the second one did him in. And the so the I've always been, she's been watching my cholesterol very closely. And one of the reasons I run is to stay off the statins, because if you're exercising heavily, I think you need less medical intervention. And that's not saying that statins are bad. If you need statins, to keep the heart attack away, that's absolutely what people should do. But I would imagine it, in the veterans, with veterans, there's, most of them probably are on top of their medical care,
Well,
things like that.
we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes us a little bit of, because medical in the military, I mean, shot day was not fun, Brian. Shot day was not fun at all. I mean, and some of these doctors have all the bedside manner of a hammer. So
Yeah.
it's not like, oh, yeah, I could go to the doctor. But I've gotten the gospel. I come from a family of medical people. And so I just go, I get my stuff done, and it's just easier that way. And I'd rather solve a small problem than a bigger problem.
Yeah.
But I was really taken in with the story about the Marine veteran on the Project Purple website and the support he was getting and how, he felt like he wasn't alone. And I just think this is really interesting. We have, you didn't serve in the military as far as I'm aware,
Nope.
but in a way,
I have that honor, no.
well, you're taking what you have. The
Yeah.
veteran's story a lot of times is taking something that you have and then making it bigger to support somebody else. And it's the same way here. And that Marine veteran's getting help because of people like you supporting this cause. So salute to you all the way. And I don't run anymore because, I had enough of that to last for a lot of reasons. I'll continue to lift the weights, but when the London Marathon comes on there, I'll be, watching you go through it. And I'm very, very honored to have you on my show, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Travis.
So look, folks, there you have it. Yes, Brian and I go back. I'm not going to say how much long, but a little ways in our professional careers. And it's just one of those things where, you see a coworker doing something like this. You see somebody trying to help somebody else out, and it's a very, very interesting story. There's a lot of symbiosis between the PACT Act, pancreatic cancer, and Project Purple. And I'll have the link to the story they did on the Marine veterans that they're helping right now, Brian. Nice, easy strides, good breathing. I know you'll have it down. We're going to be cheering for you all the way, and we'll see if we can get you some donations to support your cause. Again, thank you very much.
Thanks, Travis.
Okay, folks, we're going to say to Brian, he's mission in flight. We'll see you next time. Thank you very much.
Every generation, every sacrifice, our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action. And the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.